Begin the Quran Davim Sech the Shabbos Davim Tes. Begin on base. Begin to taste the Masla. Taste begin the words of the Gemara. Abba Shalacha, my father, the tanner of the hides. Taste comes in. What's the proof from this story of Rabbi Yisi? That is, we learned in the Mishnah that a person is permitted to move hides of an animal on Shabbos. So the Gemara is in doubt. Is it the hides of a regular person? But because that's not meant to be sold, and they're not bothered if it gets ruined. In contrast, the hides of a professional that's there for sale, he would be bothered, and it's mukta, and you wouldn't be able to move it. Or maybe there's no difference. So that Reb Chanina Bar Chama said, name Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi, that his father Rabbi Yosi Shalacha, like our Tzeder Maskel, saying that he was someone that worked with hides, and he said that you could bring the hides, let's sit on it. Often there we see that even on Uman, is not bothered about using his hides for things like sitting on it. So, therefore it's not muktzah. So, Pirsha Ben Chanan explains, this that V'amar, that the father would say, Hivilu Shlachin, bring me hides, he would say this B'Shabbos, on Shabbos, to sit on it on Shabbos. Now, from the fact that he wasn't concerned of moving it, that's obvious that an Uman is obviously not bothered about sitting on his hides, because there also would be muktzah, and he wouldn't say you can move it. And says, "Tzeis of halacha could be yisi, halacha of hazer could be yisi." That's permitted to move the hides on Shabbos because the kaimel of ma'aserab. We know that the halacha is that when you have a story, that's a great proof that this is the halacha. If this is how people do it in practice. And says, "Tzeis of chayner." So too, it seems like the interpretation of Ben Chanan that Rabbi Yisi would tell the family to move the hides on Shabbos because the ibachel ma'ar. Because if it was talking about that, he would tell them to move it in the weekday. Because the pirush b'kunch, like Rashi explains, and. And here the word tfei could be read either way, that he wasn't so bothered, so particular, more than that of a regular person, because he said even during the week, they come and lay on it, obviously he's not concerned like, oh, no one go near it, don't ruin Tati's merchandise. But then it's difficult. So then why is Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi being a raya from his father, that he wasn't particular on his hides during the weekday, on his hides, so he could read the word tfei here also on the second half, what do you mean? He should have brought a bigger proof then from his father, Rabbi Yosi. The Shari Lekaman Behed yet explicitly says later on that it's permitted, Shaloman, when it's that of a professional on Shabbos. Obviously, it's not just that he's saying if it's Makbar or not, he's bringing a Maisa Rav that on Shabbos he said to go ahead and that you could move it. That wasn't Muksa. Tenex Taste the Masculine begins the words of the Gemara, Le Umra Vudin. They didn't say that there's a differential regarding if it was tanned, this hide, el in the tumma bavad, only around the laws of tumma. So let's come explain that if it's effective, a designation, what's called a yichud, regarding the laws of Kabbalah's tumma. And as we learned in the Mishnah, that regarding this halacha of shlachin, the hides, that you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. So the Gemara wasn't clear, is that only by balabais, or is even by an uman. And the Gemara wanted to bring a raya from the braisa. The Braisa said that hides, whether they're tanned or not, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. The only time there's a difference regarding if it's tanned or not is regarding the laws of if it's receptive to Tumah or not. Now, for the fact that the Tana does not differentiate regarding Shabbos, sounds like any types of hides, even that of Uman, sounds like that you're allowed to move even that of Uman on Shabbos and that it's not Mukta. So Taz brings the Pirish Rashi. Rashi explains, this is what the Braisa says, that but regarding the Kabbalah's Tumah, there's a difference if it's Avudin or not, says Rashi, meaning Shein or Mekabel Tuma Adla Acha Ibud, because regarding the laws of Tuma, it's not going to be susceptible to Tuma until after that it was tanned, and then it's a kli that's roi to Mekabel Tuma. But then says Taisa Bim Tem, if you're going to say Taisa, ask us to take a second look. He says because Va'amem Bezvachem Perkdam Chatas, the Gemara in Zvachem Dav Tzadik Gimel Beis says Minayin LaRabis or Mishuhufsha. The Gemara there is discussing regarding if a drop of the blood of a Karma Chatas gets sprayed on a piece of leather. So generally it makes like on a garment that you have to be metired. You have to wash it, you have to do the whole process. So discussing there the hide before it's skinned from the animal, that's how do you know that minayin l'rabis oy mishahufshit? How do you know to include that the hide, once it's skinned, that it is like a garment, a piece of leather, and that it will become tummy because of the dam chatas? Says Tam Alayim, the Gemara says that we know from the pasuk Asher Yaza La Techubas, which is an extra pasuk, to say something else that's going to be sprayed on that you're going to have to wash it, not just a garment, but even a piece of leather. Says the Braisa, Yachalaf or Shalai Hufshit, you would think even the piece of leather that wasn't skinned yet from the animal. that would also, if it gets sprayed on from the dam chatas, you would have to purify a tamalema beget as a garment. What is that? We're comparing it. Ma beget, just like a garment, is something that's mekabel tumah, that can mekabel tumah. So av kol davar mekabel tumah, so to anything that's mekabel tumah, is also going to have to be purified when it gets sprayed in it from the dam chatas. Now, says Taisis Mashmas, so sounds like from that Gemara over there, the Ormesh or Hovshid, that a piece of skin, once it's skinned, Mekabel Tumah, it's susceptible to Tumah. And not only once you go ahead and you do Ibud and that you tan it. So Taisis Vashem, what you could say is the Hasim over there is Kishayichad El Yeshiva. There in the Gemara and Zavachim is Tumah when that hide was designated for sitting. Yeah, therefore, once you skin it, from that point on, it's already fit to sit, and you're already designated for sitting. So therefore, it's going to be mekabel tumah. But v'hacha kishla yichta here with tumah, where it wasn't designated for sitting. So therefore, yes, it's not considered as a kli until it's finished the process of tanning. But v'falachim mutl talta b'shabbos, and that's what we're saying. But still, you're allowed to go ahead and move it on Shabbos because since it is fit to sit on, so you're not setting it aside for midas, even though it's not going to be mekabel tumah. So in a way, it's more of a kli regarding Shabbos than that of tumah. Then Taisis says bavit. But this then Rava says Beresh Kala Kalim. The Gemara later on Kof Chav Gimel Meral. He says the following statement. He says Medele Inyan Tumah Lav Manahu. From the fact that regarding the laws of Tumah, it's not considered as a vessel. So Inyan Shabbos Nami Lav Manahu. So it's not Mekabel Tumah because it's not a kli. So regarding Shabbos Nami Lav Manahu, it's also not a kli, and therefore it's going to be forbidden to move because of Mukta. And he says this Gabi Machat regarding a needle Shenitel Churai Uuktza, where either the eye of the needle or the point of the needle was taken away, which that you use for stitching. Since it's taken away, it's not fit anymore to do the work with it anymore, so it loses its status as a kli. So A, it's not mekabel tumah, and also it's forbidden to be moved. The difficulty is, we learn here in our Gemara in the Braisa, that hides that are not tanned, and that were not designated for sitting, they're not mekabel tumah, but you are permitted to move it on Shabbos. So how is Rav equating the two? So this is what Rav means over there. From the fact that regarding tumah, it's not a kli, meaning afila al yedei yichud, even if you were to designate it to be one, still it's not a kli because the nitl chayre ukta, because you took away the point or the eye, and therefore it has no utility for work. So designation is not going to work. So therefore tahira and v'limahani ba yichud, and designating doesn't help anything. That's what we're saying. That, but regarding other kalim, even though right now it's not fit for work, but it would help for a designation. So therefore, what he's saying is that yes, by regarding the laws, what Rav was saying is that regarding the laws of tumah, by that needle, it's not a vessel, it's not mekabel tumah, even through designation. So therefore, yes, regarding Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it, but other vessels, like a hide that wasn't tanned yet, even though it's not mekabel tumah, but since if you would designate it for some utility, it would have that utility. So on Shabbos, it's permitted to move it, even if you didn't designate it. Because specifically over there, by the needle, that's what we say, with once the eye of the needle or the point is taken away, it has no utility whatsoever. So therefore, the designation doesn't help, and it's not going to be good even for Shabbos. But you're right, other kalim, that yichud would help, then even for Shabbos, even without yichud, would also make it into kli. But then Taisa is bothered with regarding what they're answering. You're telling me that if the needle, or the eye, or the point was removed, so it loses its status as a kli, and then designation is not going to help anymore to give it a status of a kli. But then says Taisa, but behold, that not mesech this kam perik gimel, where the Mishnah there says machat shenitel churai ukta. The same case, a needle that the eye or the point was taken away, so tahira, it's tahira because it's not a vessel anymore. It's a bottle. It has no utility. But if you fixed it for, let's say, as a safety pin, to just point it in the end of a garment to keep it together, then tamei it is mekabel tumah, because now you made it into a kli, because it has a utility, like a safety pin. Now that's difficult. What we said that once you remove the point or the eye, it can never be kli ever again. What do you mean you see that there is a utility it can have? So let me read the Rish says, yeah, because the Hasa Mairi, there it's talking about where you did an action, you changed something, you fixed it, you made it somehow that it can be used now as a pin. Oh, so therefore, that will, yes, that could rejuvenate it and give it a status of a kli. But just designate it in your headspace to think that you want to use it for as a pin, no, that's still going to be not a kli, and in the tamei, that's not going to be tam anymore. Because specifically, an action has to go ahead and remove it from the action, which would nullify it from a kli when it lost its point or the eye, but a machshava would not help. But where, let's say, it lost its status of a kli, and it's becoming a vessel regarding the laws of tuma by designation, where you're thinking about it that you want to use it for something else, like Abish Shabbos, have a mana, but leichud. So that's what we were saying before. But regarding moving on a Shabbos, then it's going to be a vessel, even without designating, because it could be. Therefore, it's a kli. For Tumah, you have to actually be meyachid, but for Shabbos, you don't have to be meyachid. And so too, it sounds like over there, that a vessel that is effective through yichud for the Kabbalah of Tumah is considered kli regarding Shabbos, even without yichud. Why? Because the Gemara over there asks on Rava, that he holds that this debt is not considered a man regarding Tumah. It's not considered a man of vessel regarding Shabbos. I will learn the Braisa that says you're allowed to move the needle on Shabbos, even though it doesn't even have a hole, doesn't have an eye. But regarding Tumah, only a needle that has an eye is Makabo Tumah, and not if it doesn't have. The come where the Gemara says, Tirgum Abaye Libra the Rava, Abaye translate, he answers. For Rava, he says, Begomi. What we're talking about over here is not that it lost the eye, they never made the hole yet. But so therefore, regarding Tumah, it's not considered kli because it didn't have gemar malacha. But regarding Shabbos, since the zimna dimim lechalai, since oftentimes a person changes his mind that he's not going to make a hole in this needle umash ulumano, and he makes it into a vessel without ever making a hole, because you could use it, let's say, to take out a thorn. Therefore, yeah, you let him move it on Shabbos. Even though you didn't even change your mind regarding it not to make a hole, be hitar. But yes, it will be tar from the mekabel tumah. So Taisa told us that something that is considered a kli regarding the laws of tumah, specifically through yichud, through designation. For example, let's say a hide that was skinned from an animal, but it wasn't tanned yet, where it's not mekabel tumah. Only if you designated that you want to use it for sitting, but for Shabbos, it's considered a kli, and you let him move it, even if you didn't designate it for that. But something that's not going to be a kli regarding tumah, even through designation, for example, like a needle that lost the point or the eye, where it's never going to have a title of a kli through yichud, only through mice, like we said, if you make it from mituach, then regarding the halachas of Shabbos, like Rabbi said over there, it's not going to have a status of a kli unless you actually go ahead and designate it for some utility. Kirinex Teis Demastas begins the words of the Gemara, Barm Avis Malachis Chaser Achas. There are 40 minus 1, meaning 39 av Malachis. Now the Gemara said, connected me, what's this number 39 correlating to? Shtar's going to explain why didn't the Gemara understand, obviously, because we learn out the Malachas of Shabbos from the Mishkan. And that is, the Gemara brought this question as Tais is saying, what are the 39 Malachas equate to? So what's bothering Tais is, what do you mean? Everyone knows that the 39 Malachas are learned out from the Mishkan. So just say, because by the Mishkan there were these 39 Malachas, therefore Shabbos says 39 Malachas. Why do we have to say that, oh, the 39 alludes to some type of secret? So Tais answers, because what was bothering the Gemara was the harba malachas yesh dadam in ladadi. There's many malachas that are really very similar to the other malachas. The havalon lemichshavin yikulin kachas, and really we should have considered all them as one malacha. Kedeparach beperek lagal. Like the Gemara actually later on the Vayin Gimel Beis asked this question. It says, "Hainu zayra winnowing, hainu bar that's selecting, hainu miraka that's sifting. They're all the same thing, selecting the good from the bad." And just those little differences that are between these malachas, that should not have been enough to differentiate them into separate categories of amalachas. Unless if we knew that there was a magic number of 39, that obviously with 39 malachas that correlates to something special. That's the Gemara's question. Why do we have this magic number 39 that we have to say that these are considered separate amalachas? But of course we know them from the Mishkan. But why is it 39? That was the Gemara's question. So we continue the next taste of Maschil. This begins the words of the Gemara. And one of the interpretations was Kenegit Kol Malacha Sheba Torah. It correlates to every time it says in the Torah the word Malacha, count it up, there's 39. That's why there's 39 Malachas, Av Malachas, that we have on the laws of Shabbos. Shetzkin comes to explain that the other interpretation that learns it out from a different source, that they actually disagree. Where Tosfos says, L'chayr Nira, seemingly it would seem, the Yalav Nami Mishkan. I mean, one interpretation says that you know it from the 39 times it says Malacha. The other one says, you know it because it correlates to the Malachas in the Mishkan. So Tosfos says, L'chayr Nira, it seemingly appear, the Yalav Nami Mishkan, that even this one who's saying that, you know, from the 39 times it says Malacha in the Torah, that he also learns out the Malachas of Shabbos from the activities that were done in the Mishkan. At Shari Lekach Nismucha, Parsha Shabbos and Parsha Mishkan, that's why the in Parsha of Yaakov, it says the Isser of Shabbos in the same pasuk as building the Mishkan, to tell you, learn out one from the other. But another proof is because the Ilo Yolav Mishkan, if this man, the Amr, doesn't learn out the Malachas of Shabbos from the Mishkan, Simkein Hechi Yadin L'Didei, so how do we know, according to him, Hai Ninu Avis Malachas, Hai told us? What's a primary category? What's a secondary? Because the Insvar Olam, it's not logical to say, Shemidaitum Biru Malachas HaChashuvas V'Asam Avis, that as if on their own, they figured, okay, what should we consider as the significant ones to make an Av, and which ones Taylor? The simile is because we learned out what was primary in the Mishkan. So obviously this Mandama also, besides knowing 39 from the many times it says in the Torah the word Malacha, they're also learning out like the other Mandama from the Mishkan too. Void Morova says Taizdiv, Head Yet Nan Lekaman Bazarik. There's an explicit Mishkan later on in Perek Azarik that says, HaMeshit, if someone stretched out, passes something from one Rosh Hashanah Yachad to another Rosh Hashanah Yachad through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos, his chayv is going to be liable. Why? Because that was how the Levim would do it. They would pass over a board, one of the crushing from one wagon to another wagon, which was in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, over the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So therefore, obviously, everyone learns out from the Mishkan too. So what's bothering Taisus is that if that's the case, that this Mandam also learns out from the Lechza Mishkan, so then why does he need to learn out 39 from the time it says Malacha all throughout the Torah, not do with Shabbos, if you know 39 from, because that's how many Malachas there were in the Mishkan. That's what Taisus says, as he mentioned this idea in the previous Taisus. El Lefishish Malachas Dei Mezulazu, but since there are many Av Malachas that are really similar one to the other. Vano Eisenstein Avis, and we make both of them as separate Avis, Kugem Merakei Debur, like sifting and selecting. Lekach, that's why. In other words, because we find 39 times it says in the Torah the word Malacha, that's what this mandam is coming to say. That's what Cholkum Chacham, the sages, they separated them. Lahash leminyan malacha shabbatari, to complete the amount of time it says the words malacha in the Torah, which is 39. Since ultimately they are a little bit different, so we can make the division. But if not for that, we wouldn't know 39. But in that case, it says no. V'yev shalem ikein delei polk. You know, you cannot say, as we were assuming up until now, that they don't disagree. Medikam besamach, from the fact that the Gemara shortly says, Tanya kamandam, the Gemara is bringing a raya, we have a brace that supports, like the one who says, that the magic 39 number comes from connected avodas Mishkan, yet it correlates to the types of activities done in the Mishkan. Well, mashma depli, that sounds like the other mandamer doesn't agree to this, that he disagrees. But it's not true, you tell me that he does. Obviously, he disagrees. Does not learn that from the Mishkan. V'yed moreover, lamanda lesle drasha de malacha. The Malach is a Malacha, then the other Mandama, that does not hold of this drasha of the 39 times it says Malach in the Torah. So, but based on the interpretation we said before, when we thought they weren't disagreeing, how does he know that winnowing and selecting are considered two separate Av Malachas? Oh, it's only because you knew the magic 39. He doesn't have a magic 39, he just learns off in the Mishkan, so why would we consider him as separate? Obviously, I have to say, it was based on logic, that whatever was chashuv in the Mishkan, and although they're very similar, they consider him as separate. So if that's the case, then you don't need to learn that from Malacha, 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 to know the magic 39 to separate. So why does the other man, the Amar, if he's learning out from the Mishkan, have to learn out from Malacha, Malacha? But another ray is Lekama Mashma, later on the Gemara sounds like the Mitam de Kenegad Avodas HaMishkan Greda, that if all you do is you learn out the Malachas HaShabbos just from what was done as Avodah in the Mishkan, that Islan Lachshavinu Betarti, that actually no, you should consider winnowing and selecting as two different Av Malachas. The Kama Bayvarav Periklal Gadol, like Abay and Rav both say later on the Gimlam Beis, that when the Gemara asks this question, why they consider it as separate, they say, "Kol Musa Zahavi Be Mishkan, whatever is in the Mishkan, Avagav Deka Dedamil, although it's with something else that's similar to it, Chashuva is considered as a separate Av Malacha by itself." But if you said Reb Shimon Reb Yesi learns out the Malachas of Shabbos from the Lechza Mishkan, then he would know it just from the Mishkan itself, and he wouldn't need to have to learn it from Malacha, Malacha. Obviously, his taste is obviously know that Man Damer, who learns it from Malacha, 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 does not learn out the Malacha Shabbos from Lechza Mishkan. So that's a taste originally thought to say that the one who learns out from Malacha, as says 39 times in the Torah, he has to learn that from the Lechza Mishkan, because then how else do you know what's considered an Av or a Teilada? But Taisa ultimately concludes that he says, no, that these two opinions in the Gemara actually do disagree, and the one that learns out from the word Malachas in the Torah does not learn out from the Avodas HaMishkan. The next Taisa, the Masechta begins the words of the Gemara, Heim Helu Karashim Bechulu. They would pick up the beams, the planks of the Mishkan, etc. Which Taisa comes to explain that the wagons, everyone agrees, had a halachic status of Rishus HaYachim, which is, that is, we said that a ride to the Manda Amar that learns out from the Malachas HaMishkan, is when the Braisa says that we see that what's forbidden on Shabbos is only what was done in the Mishkan. As the Braisa brings, all the things that we have malachas are things that they had in the Mishkan. One of the examples is that the Levim would take the planks from the ground, which is Shusha Rabim, to the wagons, which are Shusha Yachid. So too, you're not allowed to do whatever is done in the Mishkan, to take from Shusha Rabim to Shusha Yachid. Now, Tesis explains that Fidler Rabban, even the Rabban, the Pligar Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, that they disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda. And this is in the Sugya, on Daf Heim and Aleph, that Gabi Noetz Kanab Shusha Rabim. If someone sticks a pole in Rosh Hashanah, Uberoshe Traskel, on the top of the pole is a basket, and someone throws something in Rosh Hashanah and it lands on top of the basket. So Bishbi Yehuda holds that it's like taking from Rosh Hashanah and throwing to Rosh Hashanah, because although this pole does not have the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah, but we say what's called good achas. We view the walls of the basket, which is 10 tefachim high, and it's surrounding an area of 4 tefachim as if it's coming down to the ground. So that makes that whole area as a Rosh Hashanah. Now the Rabban disagree. They hold it's not like you went and you took it from Rosh Hashanah and put it into Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because Balistul Gurachas, they don't hold this concept of as if we're viewing the walls extending downward. And therefore, that you don't have the walls of the basket with a height of 10 tefachim, because that's not the dimensions of this area, because you don't view it as if there's walls down to the ground. So therefore, it's like part of Rosh Hashanah, in Achayev. But, says Taisis, Moidu Ba'agol, they would agree to this braisa regarding the wagon, Shehi Rosh Hashanah, that it is Rosh Hashanah. Why? Ki even Agol Agufa, since the wagon itself, Yesh Arich B'Skifa, it has a height of Asara, of a tent fachem. Where, therefore, when you're taking from the Rosh Hashanah, and you're putting the planks onto the Mishkan, which the planks itself had a height of tent fachem, and Varech of Arba, and they had a width of 4 tefachim. So therefore, you're going to say that that it's considered as a Rosh Hashanah. Now, Ava Pisha Tachter, Rosh Hashanah. I mean, that's going to be as a Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you're going to say Gur Asik of the Mechitzes, and it's considered as a Rosh Hashanah. And Ava Pisha Tachter, Rosh Hashanah, even though beneath it is the Rosh Hashanah. But therefore, that since this is different than that of the basket, because here when you're placing the krushim and the mishkan one on top of the other, they have a height together more than 10 tefachim, which is like a bona fide wall. So it's considered like as if you have walls surrounding it. So that's what he says. Even though beneath it is Rosh Hashanah, but therefore when you're going to go ahead and take the planks from Rosh Hashanah into the wagon, it's like taking from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah, in contrast to the traskel, which you never have walls of 10 tefachim high, unless you say gur achas, which they don't hold it, and therefore it's not going to be Rosh Hashanah, but here again they would agree to. And Tesis said, Bereish kol gagas, and Erev enough pei tesam alav, and Dibri maschal b'mechitzes harachti yaisa, he's more lengthy over there, which Tesis over there writes essentially that, even though that in other words, because of the generally, if kid goats could walk beneath that basket in the Shusarabim, so you can't view that area of the Traskel Shusha Yachid, because you can't have virtual walls that goats are walking through. Whereas Rabbi Yisi holds, no, good achas mechitzas, you do view it as if there's virtual walls. But that's specific over there where it's surrounded with walls. But let's say by a roof and things like that, where you don't have walls at all, the Rabban would agree that it would not be considered as Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But what Tais is saying over here is that here they would agree that it's going to be as a Rosh Hashanah Yachid because it has walls, and even though beneath it is Rosh Hashanah Rabim, but you view the whole thing as a Rosh Hashanah Yachid because ultimately it has its own walls of 10 tefachim high with a width of 4 tefachim. So even though beneath the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that doesn't take away from the air of the wagon itself that it has its own makam of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Here next Tais Demetzel is again the words of the Gemara, Ba'atam al tachnisum. And you should not take in. So it's going to explain that still Hachnas is not an Av Malacha, which again, like we said, that the Braisa was supporting, saying that all the things which were done in the Mishkan, which one of them was Hachnasa, which was taking from the Rosh Hashanah, the Midbar, into the wagons with Rosh Hashanah. So what's bothering Taisis is that, wait a second, that was one of the primary things done in the Mishkan, so that should be an Av Malacha of Shabbos, and it's not. We know only Haitzah is considered the Av Malacha. So he says, Vafalachia, even so, Loi Havi Ava was not considered as the Av Malachia. The Pishle, like we explained in the beginning of the Masechta, Bezer Min Av, the Maschal Pashat, which Tosis says over there that even though Achnas was there in the Mishkan, but still we don't count it as one of the Av Malachis because it's only in 39 and that would make it 40. But still, since Haitzah is what's called Malacha Geruah, they did not consider it even as a Tilada unless if it would have been in the Mishkan, like we see from the Braisa, that we have to find the source that it was actually in the Mishkan. But again, that only makes it into Toilodot, not into an Av.